Okay.
All right.
I'm Noah.
I'm Eddie. This is La Cosa Nostra. ET today?
Yeah, we're doing 90. We're not watching.
I hope you
watched it. We are talking about 1982's E.T. the Extraterrestrial, directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Melissa Matheson, and starring Dee Wallace, Peter Coyote, depending on where you live, Peter Coyote or Peter Coyote, I don't know, man. Oh, and Henry Thomas. So, when was the first time you saw E.T.?
I must have been about, 8 years old. It's a banger.
Yeah. Really? You watch it when you're 8 years old? I think I already said this.
Dad loved it. It's one of the first movies his dad took him to see it in the cinema. So there's that connection. It's amazing when you're a kid. It's actually spellbinding.
Oh, yeah. You watch this as a kid and this is the greatest movie of all time.
Oh, it's freaking fantastic.
For me, it's I think I said this on the Raiders episode.
It's so cute. You got little raisin man and this little kid who's
I said this on the Raiders episode, but it's I never actually grew up with any 80s movies. I don't know. Wow. I don't know. My mum was a 70s kid. Mm. And by 70s kid, I meant I just watched a lot of Hanna-Barbera, Scooby-Doo and stuff like that. That's what I mean by that. All that kind of stuff. So I didn't see stuff like Gremlins or all those kind of movies, the Goonies and stuff like that. It was only till the last few years when I've actually started to watch them. And E.T., I watched this for the first time this year. And, it's one of those movies that you could
this
say...
This year?
Yeah, I went on this massive, Spielberg watch through, and that was the first time I saw stuff like Jaws and Close Encounters and stuff like that. And, yeah, so what do you think of E.T.?
It's very good, but I think it does suffer from aging as you...
Honestly?
As you get older, I think you kind of like it.
Oh, yes. Less. Yeah. I thought when you meant aging, I thought you meant it's... We're talking like Beverly Hills Cop here, where it's just like...
Beverly Hills Cop is amazing.
It's amazing, but it's like Top Gun. It very is a product of the 80s and stuff. This is one of the most timeless films I've seen in my life, which is insane because this is it feels like a very 80s film, man. Not just on the economic side, how this mom is able to afford this big house, support three children. In today's economy, that's just not happening. But I don't know, the music and the characters, everything about it is so timeless. But my issue with it is that I just don't see this as the flawless masterpiece as so many people do. Especially and I feel like a lot of people think it's a masterpiece because it's it really was just one of those pinnacles of the 1980s. And it's weird because Jaws was a pinnacle of the 1980s of the 1970s, but it's still a really good movie, and Jurassic Park is a pinnacle of the 90s, but it's still a really good movie. With this one, it just feels like it's saying the least out of I consider that to be four. I consider Spielberg to have. There's the big four Spielberg blockbusters. There's Jaws, Raiders, E.T., and Jurassic Park. I think E.T. is the lesser of all of those movies.
Yeah, I agree.
Because all of those movies hold up really well. This movie, it's a little slight. It's a little small.
It's Spielberg's successful attempt at a kids movie.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's very good, but ultimately it is a kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing that is important to know. It's not going to be, Jaws is a film for, essentially for,
Teenagers.
And then...
Even Close Encounters, that's a movie that has a lot of things in common with E.T., but I think that movie, I don't know, it handles its subject matter and it still is a pretty, grown-up movie. This one, it's just yeah, when you're a kid, you think it's the greatest movie of all time. But, I don't know. There's something... It doesn't completely resonate with me. I'm not sure because, the acting is all really good. The acting is all really good in this movie, but, And I love the practical effects. I'm just going to say it now. During the summer, I bought, a bunch of Spielberg movies. I bought Close Encounters. I bought Jurassic Park. Yeah. And I also bought E.T. Now, me, I'm not very smart. I'm a simple man. I'm a simple man. And I saw on eBay that there was this E.T. And I always try to look for the best version of the DVD. And there was this E.T. version for the 20th anniversary. I was like, okay, should be pretty good.
Is this but the one with the...
Something in my head was telling me, haven't you heard something about this before? And I was like, shut up, Brian. What do you know? And I was like, so I bought it. And it came. And I was like, yeah, like... This is really cool. It came. I put it in. And I start watching. Something feels a little off to me. I don't know what it is. But something about the movie is not right. And E.T. starts swinging on trees like a monkey. And I was like, oh, good God, I bought the special edition, didn't
I? Wait, what is it?
Okay, so everybody knows that Steven Spielberg is good friends with his buddy George Lucas.
Is this the one where they like blocked out the guns and stuff?
Yeah, so George Lucas was kind of going nuts with all the special editions with Star Wars during the late 90s. And he's like, hey, Spielberg, you know, this is so cool, man. Like, you should try it with your own movies. And Spielberg's like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't really want to do that. And he's like, come on, please, please. So Spielberg's like, okay, fine. And he goes ahead and changes a bunch of stuff in this movie. So E.T., a lot of the shots with E.T. are replaced with CGI.
Is this the one where it, like, folds out? It's like a book, and it's got two discs in it.
Yes.
And one of them is normal, and one of them is special edition.
No, I wasn't granted that luxury. No. I still have it, but I think I've never done this to a DVD. I think I can't return it because nobody's gonna want to buy it because they're not stupid like me. So what I'm gonna have to do, I'm gonna have to like give it away to charity, but I don't want to give it away to charity because that means some unsuspecting kid is gonna have to pick up that movie and they're accidentally gonna grow up watching the E.T. special edition. It's the same thing that happened with Star Wars. I cannot find a version of Star Wars that is just the normal version of it, you know, like it's so annoying. But so in my house I just own the E.T. special edition and I look at it with just disgust anytime. It is one of like my least, it's one of my worst possessions, and I wish I never bought it, man. Bad idea, very bad idea. How do you feel about this movie? Like, it got nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, like, time
out. What else was it put on?
I don't know. Okay. Again,
Gandhi?
Yeah, Gandhi.
The film with the guy in brown face.
Well, not really, kind of. Yeah, not really. Yeah. I mean, like,
Yes.
I mean, no, I mean, Wes Anderson still puts him in brown face, so I'm like, it's okay, right? You know, I don't know, man.
No, I think he's part Indian.
Yeah, he is, like...
Yeah, he's just not brown.
Ben Kingsley is part...
So, I don't know why people think that's a loophole. That's not, like...
I know, but, like, Gandhi won that year.
That's not... Like, you can't just loophole your way... Yeah, but he's part of the ethnic... That's not how it works.
Directed by...
Richard Attenborough.
From Jurassic Park.
Hold on, well, that makes it all okay,
then. No expense. Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching that again. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but I watched every single Jurassic Park and Jurassic World movie back to back.
You poor
it
soul.
It was
just
rough.
You're just getting a descent into hell.
It's bad. It's like, one is amazing, right? Apart from the fact that the guy keeps saying spare no expense.
Spare no expense.
Like it's his tax report
or something. But Jeff Goldblum has never been more risky in that movie.
He's saying spare no expense like he's talking to the IRS or something. And then the second one the second one is still pretty good, right? I quite like the second one. And then from there, it just takes a nosedive into the depths of hell. Like, oh my God.
Clever girl.
The third one is actually...
Oh my... Alan.
It's so bad.
You know, in like...
And then Jurassic World is a minor return to form, although it's weirdly military. And then from there, yet again, it takes a dive.
Nobody cares about dinosaurs. We want to know about, what is it, locusts? Is that it in Dominion? Yeah. Locust?
No, and then the weird thing where, like, in the second one, they decide they're going to do an eBay auction for, like, clearly very dangerous animals. And it...
We're going to send the dinosaur to San Francisco.
And at the same point, randomly, in the second Jurassic World movie, he manages to explode a bulletproof glass cage with a knife and a bullet. How he does that? Because he's a part of, because he was a marine, apparently. You know, he can track the scent of dinosaurs on the wind.
We had basketball yesterday, and like I don't even know why, but I think somebody was about to shoot, and all I just went, shooter. And I don't know why. It was so right. Oh, but like with this, yeah. So Gandhi won that year for 1983, and for me, like. I'm not sure if, like, yeah, Jurassic Park didn't get an Oscar nomination for Best Picture, but E.T. did. I don't get that. And especially, like, look at the year that was in 1982.
Wow.
Like, that's why, a pretty stacked...
Why not The Thing? Or why not...
Why not Blade Runner? Why not Poltergeist? Why not The King of Comedy, man? Like...
Why not Pink Floyd's The Wall animated film?
But Tootsie? Okay. Sure.
Star Trek 2, anybody?
Rathacon!
Vincent came out that year, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Why not Grease Squared, or Grease 2, even? That's really, really bad.
Yeah, okay, no. Wow, Conan the Barbarian? Like, come on, man. Like, this. Even good animated films, like The Secret of Nim.
Swamp Thing, everybody. Swamp Thing. No. Do you not know what that is?
No, I have no clue, man. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, banger, Sean Penn. Sean Penn, what an actor, by the way. I never even realised he was that good. Obviously, his highlight is directing Into the Wild. Subtle plug. But I mean, like, wow. I saw him in that new PTA movie, and I hated that guy with every fiber. He's so bad. He's really awful.
Something that's really funny with this movie is that, like,
apparently he dated Madonna as well. There might be a slight mismatch there.
If you look at, like...
I mean, I don't think that went down well.
If you look at, like, the box office, because for this movie, this is similar to Raiders, but it's even more insane. That, again, we don't live in it. We live in a time where a movie comes out, no matter how big it is out for about a month, and then it goes away. You know? Mm. With this movie, I think it was in theaters until, like, 1984?
Yeah, it just never left.
2 years.
That might even be a bit slight.
That is abominable. No wonder it did well. I mean, yeah. The Minecraft movie could have... Well, it did do well, to be fair. But, like, okay. Trolls 2 could do well if it was left in cinemas for 2 years.
Yeah, but, man, like, it was in theatres, like, until 1984. Then it was re-released in 1985. It was one of those movies that you could just see all the time. And that's why it has, like, a budget, box office of, like, 700 million. Which, for a movie in 1982, is insane. And something that's interesting to see...
1982 and 3 and 4.
Yeah. And something interesting to see with Spielberg's movies is that
That means a 13-year-old, if this film was for 15, a 13-year-old could just wait.
Yeah, you could just wait. And this was before the era of, like, home media, I'm pretty sure. Like, before VHS has really took off. So if you really want to see the movie, you had to see it in theatres, you know?
But you had a long time.
You had a long time to wait. And the thing with Spielberg is that he does this thing where, in, like, he breaks the record of the highest grossing movie 3 times.
Yeah.
He does Jaws. That's the highest grossing movie.
Well, I think then, he's a bit of a marketing expert. He's pretty good at his
life. I think he just, for me, it's like he just makes movies, at least at this point, he was making movies that people really wanted to see. And in my opinion, he has one of the greatest runs in, like, directing history. I think only compared to, like, in my opinion, like, either Christopher Nolan or Tim Burton, like, has anybody had a run of straight success for, like, a solid 10-year period? Like, I think Nolan between, like, I don't know, like, Memento and, like, The Dark Knight Rises, that's, like, a solid, like, 12 years there. And, like, Burton between, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure and, like, Batman Returns. Here, like, I think apart from 1941...
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Geez. Oh, that's a banger. I think apart from, like, 1941, every single one of his movies were, like, a mass... Everybody loved, like, Jaws and Close Encounters and, like, Raiders. Like, I don't know how a director goes on, like, a spree of creating, like, the best... Some of the best movies of all time, like... Over the course of, like, 7 years.
Sorry, it was in... Sorry, quick retry. It was in cinemas for 2 years.
2 years.
And if you really want to see that and you missed it, 4 years after that, Mac and Me comes out. So,
yeah.
If you missed
a delightful alternative.
Mac and Me. Has a scene where a kid falls to his death and is saved by a lake and then wheeled out of his wheelchair by a raisin man.
This is one of those interesting movies, and this is always interesting to see. You know, when you look, I think there's three really good examples. There's Gremlins and Beetlejuice and Batman, where it's like you look at those and those movies come out and there's just like this slew of knockoffs that come out after, like, I couldn't even, like, talk about, like, all of those knockoffs that came out. And E.T. was one of those. And Mac and Me is probably the most famous because it's the most blatant knockoff out of all of those. And we're probably going to get to it at some point because, man, that's a trip. That is a trip, man. Quite literally, so a kid trips and falls to his death.
Almost. Thank God for water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost as if it had no surface tension whatsoever.
Yeah, but like Spielberg...
Full 300 metres, who cares?
Spielberg does this thing where he breaks the...
If you have a kid with a wheelchair, don't live next to a cliff with a ginormous lake underneath it. With no gate either. He just rolls his wheels down and falls off a cliff.
Like, okay, so Spielberg does...
Because his brake broke.
Spielberg does this weird thing where it's like... This crazy thing that no director's ever been able to do, I think, apart from James Cameron, where it's like, they make a movie and that movie is the highest grossing movie of all time. So he makes Jaws, highest grossing movie, then he does Star Wars. That George Lucas, like, knocks off Jaws. Then he makes E.T. and breaks Jaws' record. Then he does Jurassic Park and breaks his own record again. And then, like, I think James Cameron comes in and makes, like, Titanic, and I think that $2 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah, $2 billion. And then he smashes that, and then he does Avatar, which smashes that again. And I can't remember what the highest grossing movie of all time is right now. It might be The Way of Water.
Yes, it's the second one.
Or I heard that, like, Endgame was re-released at some point, and then that made more.
Yeah, but controversial because it's a re-release.
Well, no, like.
I think it's Avatar 1, maybe.
Really? It's Avatar 1, then it's Endgame, then it's 2, then it. Avatar 2, then it's.
Titanic,
then Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Can I just say, everybody can, like, complains, like, rightfully so, about Mac and Me and, like, the product placement of, like, the McDonald's stuff and all that. I with this movie, it's like. There is a product placement in this movie as well.
Yeah.
There's the thing with, like, the Reese's Pieces. And I was watching, I was like, okay, it's slightly hypocritical of everybody to gang up on Mac and Me. Still fair enough to gang up on Mac
also
and Me.
Like,
but it's like, this movie has product placement as well. It's not completely, like...
It's like Stranger Things as well. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah, but Stranger Things takes a lot from, like...
Yeah, but where they deadass just do, like, a Diet Coke commercial midway through the show.
Yeah, but, like, a lot of, like, those 80s, like, Goonies and, like,
she's,
like this.
She's, like, bleeding out on the floor, and he's like, how can you drink Coke, bro? He's like, it's delicious. And then they go back to her, like, dying.
I know, and it's... But for them...
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and, like... For them, that's not really a reason to do it. Like,
or like in the Deadpool movies, he just like blatantly advertises his own gin. Have you seen that in Deadpool 2 when he's like killing all the Japanese guys?
Oh, right,
He like stops at the bar and pours himself. It's like...
I think, Ryan Reynolds owns that.
He owns aviation gin as well. He's just helping himself out.
This
it's Free Guy, sorry. It says product placement, but it's the shape of his aviation gym bottle.
Oh, yeah, but it's also in Red Notice as well, if you've ever seen that.
Yes, he's just advertising his own stuff.
I think it's the one that looks like a skull. I can't remember, but yeah. This movie, again, like,
Red Notice was so bad.
It's not good. Yeah.
He, like, evade a ball by running and jumping into a trapdoor.
But with this movie has, in my opinion, like, one of the greatest scores of all time. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, like, I think they even put, like, a Wikipedia. I don't know if they're actually legally allowed to do that. But they put, like, a bit of the flying theme, which is just... And it's just like... I don't know, man. That is... And the scene where, like, they're all on the bicycles. And they're all just flying. For me, I watched that scene. I was watching it again. I was like, that is cinema for me, man. Like, you watch that, and this is just, like, why you make movies. This is why you make movies. You can't... You can't see that stuff in real life. This is just something else. Those iconic images of him, like, flying, him and Ellie and E.T. flying over the moon. And it's just like, geez, man, they don't make them like they used to. That's all. I don't see movies that this awe-inspiring nowadays, man. Like, I guess, like, a lot of people say that Spielberg is very schmaltzy and he's very sentimental and stuff like that. And yet, with a lot of his movies, they are right. But man, this is just one of those where I'm like, I don't want to see E.T. die. Like, when he's just found in a ditch dead, it's like, it's sad as hell. I don't want to see the little raisin dude die, man. Like, I like him. And, like, when the bit where, like, Elliot and, like, E.T. are, like, both, like, in, like, serious critical condition, man. That's the bit where, like, I start to get enthralled again. Because, I don't know, it's not a very, like, I don't want to say it's not an entertaining movie, but it's a very slow movie. And I don't mind slow burn movies. But not a lot really happens in it. But when stuff started to ramp up and, you know, the bit where, like, the mum is, like, reading to, like, you know, Drew Barrymore's character, like before also, she goes to bed.
Like, Drew Barrymore's story on this set is the most wholesome thing
ever. Oh, my God, it's so wholesome, my God.
But it's
God.
Also really sad. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
It's so sad. If you don't know about this, like, I don't want to go into it now because I'm probably going to start, like, tearing up, but it's just so
this
sad.
Is the one about the actual E.T., like...
No, yeah, so, no, we can talk about that. I was talking more about the fact she asked Spielberg to, like, adopt her because her dad was, like, basically...
Oh, my God, I never heard of that. Jesus.
Oh, do you know what I mean? She'd walk in with, like, full makeup. She was, like, a proper addict to cigarettes and stuff because her dad basically neglected her. And then one day she asked Mr. Spielberg, like, she said, Mr. Spielberg, will you please adopt me?
Oh, Jesus, man.
And Spielberg couldn't do that.
But oh, my God. But he said, what are you kidding? He adopted, like, five kids. Come on.
He said, I'll be your godfather. And he bought her a cat for the rest of the
thing. Oh, my God.
But so the story about E.T., he basically didn't tell Drew Barrymore E.T. wasn't real.
And which was a great way to, like, have, like, a really realistic
method
performance.
Without being method.
Without, yeah.
So she thought it was a real alien. And which was, like, she once saw the people who operate at the E.T. And he was like, why are those eight people on E.T.? And she says, oh, they're his assistants. And she's like, why has he got so many assistants? And he goes, well, I'm the director and I've got one assistant. E.T.'s so special that he has eight for his own. And Drew was, like, so happy about that. And,
shoot,
yeah.
Man. Like,
so, like, honestly, Spielberg probably saved her life. Like, she would have gone really down. Because she did
Stuff like that is just the reason why Spielberg's
Playboy,
my favourite,
like,
director, man.
5 years later, but, like, Spielberg honestly turned her life around. And then she became a proper actor and she, like, since then has become, you know, a, like... But she was in a really bad place, and Spielberg...
Still kind of is in a bad place, but we're not going to get into that.
Spielberg, Luke, he saved her life.
Yeah. So with E.T., with the actual model for E.T., like, it's kind of a mix. Have you seen, I think So some of E.T. is done by animatronics, obviously. And then some of it is done by... I think a lot of the walking scenes are done by this little boy. He was born without any legs.
Yeah. Yeah. And they use him because he'd fit on the wheels to do
that.
Yes.
And E.T. is voiced by this woman who had like this really raspy voice. I can't do the E.T. voices.
E.T.?
E.T.?
Sorry.
Yeah, I can't do it, man.
E.T.'s, he's a little bit grotesque sometimes.
Yeah, but it's...
Like, he has proper, like... chest with, like, nipples and, like, a proper...
Yeah, but for me, it's, like, it's similar to, like, Edward Scissorhands, how, like, this kind of, like,
and he's got,
thing
like...
that you kind of should be scared of. It's just, like, how this movie really makes you care about him.
If I saw E.T., like, gross, like, he's got, like, fat flabs over his legs, like...
Yeah, but you really, I don't know, man, like, you really care. This is just one of, like...
It's the eyes. The eyes save him because the eyes are so cute and expressive. Everything else is like, ugh.
For me, it's like... It's like this movie is just very good when it comes to, like...
It's probably got, like, a goo as well, like an ectoplasm from being in space. It's just like, ugh. Is he, like, Vaseline or, like, ugh?
For me, it's like, with this movie, it's like, this movie is very good with what, like... I think, like, people call, like, emotional storytelling, where, like, not everything really makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
But you get the feeling.
You get the feeling, which is something that I don't see. A lot of movies nowadays really like to over-explain everything.
It's like probably one of the most recent and best examples of that is a film called Minari. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's about this Korean family that likes to perform. The story itself isn't like that spectacular, but you really feel a lot in the film. And the performances are so great. And it's kind of like what E.T.'s trying to do. They kind of do it a bit better. But yeah, E.T.'s like, it's just trying to...
It's
a vibe movie.
It's a vibe. And it's like, this movie, it less so explains stuff. And I would compare it to, like, the original, like, A Wizard of Oz. Or, like, if you ever saw where the wild things are. movie yeah. from a while back, where it's like, it doesn't really make sense, you know? Or, you know, a lot of those things in those movies don't really make sense. And, like, why didn't, like, the Good Witch just tell Dorothy to click her shoes at the very beginning? I don't know, man. But it's all about the feelings. It's all about the feelings. And
it's like, it's like in Sinners. Someone said, have you seen Sinners yet?
No.
Oh, I won't say it because I don't want to spoil it. But how have you not
seen it? I'm going to see it. I'm going to see it. I am slow to modern movies, man. I am really slow.
You haven't
slow.
Seen it?
I've not seen it yet.
I am slow to
what
modern
do you guys
movies.
Do all day? You're just like...
I am catching up on all these 80s movies that I haven't seen before.
Do you rewatch Red, White, and Blue for the, like, 19th time?
I just missed it in cinema. I
want to
see it. Is it out yet on streaming?
Oh, no.
Yes.
I don't know where...
Yes, it's been out
for
ages.
You'll probably find it on... What is it?
It's
Max?
Out.
HBO
it's been out
Max?
For so long.
It's on my list. I need to see it.
On your list.
Yeah, so this...
Jeez, go home tonight and watch it.
Yeah, this movie got nominated for...
Do cinema a favour. Mm. Save it for once. Instead of, like, oh, all the people going to see Peppa Pig's new baby sister. No!
I'm gonna watch that.
No, bad, but no. Take your 8-year-old to Sinners. Introduce them to something real.
So do you not think that this is one of the greatest movies of all time?
No.
No.
It's probably in the top, like, 60.
Would you... I honestly, not even putting it there. I gave it, because...
Mac and Me is top 10, though.
Yeah, that's kind of a given. I don't even have to say that. But, like, for me, again, I saw this after seeing a bunch of Spielberg movies, and I don't have any nostalgia blinding me, you know? And it's like... I don't know, like, this isn't even Spielberg's best Alien movie. I think Close Encounters is his best, you know? Even directed-wise, like, it's a well-directed movie, but, my God, this guy directed, like, Raiders before this, and it's like, I've seen how good this guy can be at directing, like, Jaws, you know? Like, this is not even his best directed movie, you know, like, best acted or anything. It's not. It's a really good movie, don't get me wrong, but I've just seen, like, a lot better from him, and I like it a lot. I really do appreciate what he has done, but it's not a movie I see myself going back to all that often.
Yeah, I don't think I'd really...
If it came out in cinemas again, I would probably watch it.
It's a movie that makes you feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a comfort film, I think. It's very good at being a comfort film.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, up there with the likes of...
Is it Best Picture nominee?
No.
No?
Like, would you nominate... You know, would you nominate Sing as a...
Well, that's very different. No, that is very different. No, it's... what's the equivalent, man? What's the equivalent of this, like, modern day? I actually compare it to Barbie.
Yeah, would you nominate Barbie for a Best Picture? I think it
honestly
did
not. Like, honestly not. If it hadn't had that whole Barbenheimer thing...
Especially considering, like...
In the year we had the thing, Blade Runner, the king of comedy, man. Like, there was so much good stuff.
That was the year of the concert in Central Park. Oh, my God.
There were so many good movies that came out this year. Like, I don't know, man. Like,
there was also some really awful stuff that came out this year. Like,
really?
Yeesh.
Where? Where?
I mean,
is there? I mean, I don't...
Snowman.
Oh, no, I love the snow. Okay, back up. No, we're going to talk about... You don't like the snowman? Do you not have a soul?
It's a bit boring. We're flying in
that's
the air.
That's another emotionally, like... That's another example of emotional storytelling. It doesn't make sense, but, man, it gives you the feels.
You're telling me, like, anti-vil...
Oh, yeah, can I just say, a lot of people say that, like, with Poltergeist, that it was basically... Because it was... I think it was one of the first movies done by his... Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment, and like a lot of people say that, oh, that's just basically a movie that Spielberg directed himself. Mm. I've never seen Poltergeist. He didn't, but apparently he was just so involved in it where it was just basically like his own, it was basically a movie he made himself, and that is one crazy summer. Like,
oh my God. Oh my God. No.
Definitely only getting busier as time goes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, story by Steven Spielberg, produced by Steven Spielberg. Okay.
It's basically
Spielberg's
like Todd
movie.
Hooper, his name's on it, but it's a little like solo a Star
oh my
Wars
God,
story.
He made The Chainsaw Massacre and Leatherface.
Todd Hooper?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. It's a little like solo
oh
a Star Wars
God.
Story where like. It says Ron Howard directed it, but, you know, it really was. It really wasn't him. Come on.
He made a movie called The Fun House. It looks
really
horrifying.
Poltergeist doesn't seem nearly as intense as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is good because I'm not really a horror movie.
That looks terrifying. It's about a fun, like a clown funhouse with a slasher killer that just kills everyone inside and disguises them. Ugh.
Can I just say, I just want to say here, like the special effects director, artist, Carlo Rambaldi, just please just look, go look at what he looks like, man. Just, you'll get a really good chuckle out of it.
He looks like E.T.
He looks like E.T. I've got one of the funniest images I've seen in my life here. Oh, jeez, man.
Okay, yeah. Well, so what are we giving it?
I gave it 4.5
I agree, 4.
4.5
That's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
This is going to be like our last. We're not done. Yeah, until half term. Have you got anything planned? Anything planned?
Like, back to France.
Oh, no, like movies wise, when we come back.
Maybe Mac and Me, maybe Minari.
So you, Mac and Me, Minari, Into the Wild. Into the Wild.
Into the Wild! Yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I've got.
If you haven't seen Into the Wild, like.
Yeah, no, that's why we're saying it now, like, just in case. You know, no, I've got.
Just watch if you're open.
Yeah, we've got Mac and Me, like. I'm gonna finish the Indiana Jones trilogy.
We're looking for an action-packed term, so we will see you then.
Yeah.
See you, man.